There is somebody who listens to you and thinks you're kind of fabulous.
Oh, really?
And that would be the Pope.
Oh, he listens to me. He's an extraordinary person.
I mean, the Pope has said you are the most, what, his favorite nun in the United States of America?
So that's what they say, right? No, I don't know that he said that, but...
He's never said it to your face, huh?
But he did say he loved me very much, and to my face, so that's good.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, the story of the nun who's made it her life's calling to help migrant families stranded at the border. Growing up, Norma Pimentel wanted to be an architect, but a chance encounter with pizza changed her life forever. Today, Sister Norma is the executive director of Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley and is known for being one of the nation's strongest champions for immigrants. Last year, she received the oldest and most prestigious award for an American Catholic. It was given to her by the University of Notre Dame. In 2014, she served as point person for organizing the emergency response to the number of Central Americans who were crossing the border to seek asylum. Today, she runs the Humanitarian Respite Center in McAllen, Texas. I met with Sister Norma in her convent chapel to talk about her work with immigrant families. And we started off our conversation talking about the unique part of the country where she lives and works, the Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
The valley is very unique. You know, it's this middle ground between two countries, you know, right? Because we are part of the United States, but at the same time, we are part of Mexico. It's a very unique way of being here in the valley. Well, I grew up in both Mexico and the United States. I actually was born here in this country, in Brownsville, Texas, by what I say, chiripa, you know, is by chance, because my father came to the United States with this American dream, hoping that, you know, maybe here in the United States he had the future for his life, for his family. And when he filled out that application, they didn't let him go back. They told him, you have to stay here until we give you an answer. And so he wasn't prepared. You know, he didn't bring anything other than what they had on. And so he had to figure out where to put my mom and my sister up, you know, in a room and pay rent for them and go find a job so that he can pay for that. And so I was not born, but my mom was pregnant with me. Days after that, I was born, you know.
Wow.
And so I happened to be born in the United States by chiripa, you know? That's why I say, you know.
What do you think about that? The fact that your dad made this, it is a sacrifice.
I really see that him, that he is the pillar of my life, who I am today. My dad's makeup of who he was, high values, family values.
You think that the thing that your dad admired most about this country was its moral value, its capacity for dreaming? Like, what was it that your dad...
I think you hit it on the nose when you say capacity for dreaming. Really coming to be whoever God is pulling you and asking you, and you can become that person if you... This country offers that to you. At least that's how I think how he must have felt.
You're saying that the American reality, the possibility of this American dream is tied to godliness in the sense that whatever God you
allows
celebrate.
Us to, because no, truly who we are, who we become, is God sent. You know, it's who God is calling us to become. And it's almost as if this country, it gives you the floor, the foundation to become that who you are called to be.
Did you always dream of being a nun? Like when you would walk by the churches, would you say, hi?
I always share my story about how pizza was the way God got me to become a nun.
Pizza,
you know, because I didn't have it at all in me to become a nun at all. And I went to college. And so I graduated from college with a Bachelor's of Fine Arts. And my goal was to continue and pursue that. And so I wanted to go out. I called a friend. And I asked her, Linda, what are you doing tonight? And she said, we're going to a prayer group. And I said, what are you doing after the prayer group? You know, and she says, we're going to Pizza Hut. Perfect. Come pick me up after the prayer group.
You were like, I don't need to pray?
Well, I was a young girl. For me, faith was going to Mass on Sunday. Y se acabó. You know, that was it. I was
kneeling when you were told to kneel,
yeah,
getting
and,
your
go
communion.
To catechism. I did that. I'm done with it. Adios, you know. So I was not at all interested in going to a prayer group. Well, he fixed that. God did, you know. I went to this prayer group because my friend said, Norma, we can't go to the prayer group and then come back for you and then go back. You have to come to the prayer group.
Oh, my God. If you want the pizza.
So if I wanted the pizza, if I wanted to have fun and enjoy myself, I needed to go to the prayer group.
Oh, my gosh.
So I did. And that was the turning point. And then God became everything for me. From that moment on, I just wanted to know more about God.
Take me to that moment because you felt something that you had never felt before. So I'm like, try and describe that.
You know, sometimes it's so hard to put it into words, but you know, you feel like almost as if you're floating, you know, an experience of a peace that just overpowered me, a sense of a calmness. And I was so intrigued and so captured by that experience that I wanted to go back next week. Then the nuns asked me, have you ever thought of being a nun? And I said, I have not, but I would definitely will think about it now. And then so I spent a couple of months and to decide where I was in my life and what was all this change that's happening in me. How did I want to move forward with it? And so I said, well, if it's more of what I'm experiencing now, I think I want to try it. So I said, yes. And I entered the convent.
And this notion of kind of levity and being supported and feeling this kind of cosmic calmness, did that remain?
You know, that experience was a one moment experience that happened at that moment, but it opened my eyes. It's like the scales fell off my eyes and I could begin to see life totally different. It was sort of like I thought I was a happy person, but now I was experiencing inner happiness that was so different from before.
What was the difference? Like, what would you say is that difference?
I think my focus in life became more inward, more of an understanding of why we're here in this world, you know, and what are we doing and what's the purpose of our life and making a difference in that way.
Coming up on Latino USA, we talk about how Sister Norma got involved with helping migrant families at the border. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Every day you wake up to that long to-do list. Well, Up First gives you the latest news in about 10 minutes, so you feel all caught up in the world while catching up on your life. And hey, don't forget to walk the dog. Listen to Up First every morning from NPR News.
Hey, we're back, and we're going to pick up our conversation now with Sister Norma Pimentel from McAllen, Texas.
So Norma, as a teenager, was a budding artist, and Norma, as an adult, is now considered one of this country's most important champions for the rights of immigrants. How does that happen?
When I entered the religious life, there was one of the sisters from Spain. She was my mentor. She was a great model for me of how she respected others, our community, religious missionaries of Jesus, right from the start, was receiving immigrant families, moms with children at our convent. Because back then, the Border Patrol did not have a detention facility for women and children. And so what they would do, they would call her and say, Hermana Juliana, tenemos una mamá con su bebito, puede usted tenerla en el convento, you know? Can you take this family? And because we don't have a place for them, you know, we only have a space for adult men. And she would say yes. And so I always experienced these immigrant families there in our convent. If it wasn't one, and then for a couple of weeks, and another time, another one. And so,
what year are we talking about?
In the 80s. So right from the start, my relationship, my involvement, my awareness of the immigrants fleeing from their country, the struggles that they go through, became so important to make sure that I could be that voice that would speak up and defend them and protect them.
And these are stories that you're remembering from the 1980s.
That's
at
right.
The height of the wars in Central America, Nicaragua and El Salvador.
A surprisingly large number said they joined the rebel troops after family members had been killed by government security forces.
And we're going to fast forward now to 2014. There is considered a surge of the arrival of children coming into the United States.
The other big story tonight, the unresolved crisis on the border.
Child migrants.
The child migrant border crisis.
The child migrant crisis.
And you become the point person that organizes the emergency response.
Sister Norma Pimentel established this temporary shelter a month ago and has already served more than 3,000 people.
You know, when the very first day that I get a call that there's all these families at the bus station that needed a lot of help, these are families that Border Patrol was releasing. And so somebody that was trying to help them, they call me and tells me, we need help, how to help these families. So I get myself in my car and drive to the bus station, and I have to figure out, what do I do, Norma, think. So I call a priest that has a parish hall a block and a half from the bus station. I say, Father Tom, let me borrow your parish hall for a couple of days. I had no clue that this was not just a couple of days. This was going to be for a while. You know, we've been 4.5 years and we're still doing this.
So you open up this McAllen Respite Center at the parish, but in fact, it gets so busy that you actually have to move to a much larger space.
Well, you know, from the parish hall, I was always concerned that the parish needed their parish hall back. We took over it, and so I was always wanting to have another location. And we definitely decided, the bishop and myself, that it was important to build a permanent facility, a permanent place. So in the meantime, the numbers started to go up from 100 to 200.
And what year are we talking about?
This last year, you know. And so I was blessed to get an offer from a local business person in McAllen who said, I have this nursing home. Sister, if you want to use it, it's yours.
It was empty.
It was empty. So we fixed it up, got it ready, and we moved it. And at the time, we were seeing 400 people. It was perfect, you know. But some neighbors were pretty upset about the fact that we were up there.
McAllen residents voicing their opposition to having the respite center operate in their neighborhood. Residents citing traffic problems and safety issues.
I say that more than likely we were disturbing their conscience, you know. They didn't like what they were seeing and how they were feeling of seeing poor people in front of them in those conditions.
Obviously, the Catholic Church is complicated, to put it mildly. But this particular pope, his own experience in understanding human rights abuses, for this particular pope to be saying to you, to look you in your eyes and say, I love you and thank you for the work that you're doing on behalf of the most vulnerable, the immigrants coming to the United States of America. What does that mean for you, Sister Norma?
Oh, for me, it was if I just, in that instance, flew to heaven, you know, for a couple of seconds, you know, it was like, oh my God, he's talking to me, you know. It was like beyond me to believe that he was really addressing himself to me, you know. It was so, oh wow. I believe and I felt that when he recognized me, he recognized what I was doing. He was recognizing all of us here at the border that have tirelessly just given of ourselves to help these thousands of families. And it was a great pat in the back, you know.
from the Pope.
Yes.
A pat in the back from the Pope.
Yes, it was. It was beautiful. It was a reaffirmation of God, because for me, God is who and why we do what we do, you know. And so I think that it's truly a big seal of approval.
Finally, sister, you have witnessed and lived through moments of desperation right here on this border. So the moments when you feel most challenged, when you feel most desperate, most worried, most overwhelmed, what does Sister Norma do?
For me, the only thing that gives me back a sense of calmness, a sense of knowing everything's okay, is God. I need that special time alone with Him that reconnects me, recenters me, and refocuses me on who I am and what I'm doing.
Sister Norma, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
You're welcome.
Sister Norma is the Executive Director of Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. This episode was produced by Maggie Freeling and edited by Marlon Bishop. The Latino USA team includes Niel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo. We're edited by Fernanda Camarena and Sofia Paliza Carr. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our interns are Caroline Aguirre and Lucas Southard. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide, and the Wincote Foundation.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, how the death of a young woman on a university campus fueled a movement to combat the crime of femicide in Mexico.
If they kill me, it'll be because I walk alone at night. If they kill me, they'll say it was because I was flirtatious and I said no.
That's next time on Latino USA.